Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting once again with Jonathan Webb, the founder and CEO of App Harvest. Jonathan, thank you so much for being here on the show.
Leanne, thank you for having me.
Last time we spoke, you were just beginning to move some dirt around out on 801, building the new 60-acre greenhouse. And for the benefit of the listeners who missed that show back in June, tell us a little bit about what you've got planned for that facility.
Yeah, we're very excited about this this facility here in Morehead. It's certainly at the cutting edge of pulling together various technologies to build a world-class indoor ag facility. So we're in the midst of building a 60-acre underglass facility in Rowan County, and that will grow tomatoes and cucumbers. A couple features from the facility that make it unique will be that it will run completely on recycled rainwater. So we're building a 10-acre retention pond where we will collect the rainwater from the roof and recycle it back in. Non-GMO seeds, no chemical pesticides. So again, we're very proud of this facility, and it's starting to make waves around the country and frankly around the world. People talking about the design and implementation of this system. So we're excited to have it under construction, and even more excited to go live with it.
Now, your organization did a press release last week about a little more investment that was happening to put a hybrid lighting system that's going to be installed. I mean, I knew that you guys were going to, even though it's a greenhouse and you'll use sunlight, but there's also additional lighting that'll go in. And I just didn't really think about it. So tell me a little bit about the system.
Yeah. So we say controlled environment agriculture because you're really controlling the environment inside of the facility using sensors, software, various components to be able to control the environment to maximize the yield for the plant. So with that, I was with Philips earlier this week, and last week we announced that we are using the latest LED light fixture by Philips for this facility, and that's a $15 million installation. So the capital investment into this project has moved from $82 million to $97 million, and it will be the first facility of this size to have large-scale LED installation inside of it. So we're, again, just trying to optimize for the plant, give it everything it needs in order to produce the maximum yield possible.
I feel like I've talked to a lot of different organizations that do LED installs, and that really helps with energy costs, energy conservation. There's a lot of movement for schools and different things. I guess with this kind of project, you're obviously going to be using a lot of energy, but those are things that you guys are thinking about from the design phase.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's what we've tried to do is design a system using technology, understanding we put the plant first, and that we align technology with nature and try to align with natural systems as best as possible. So, again, using all of the sunlight by using a glass structure, capturing all the sunlight, using all the recycled rainwater, using integrated pest management to have good pests kill bad pests versus harsh chemical pesticides. But yes, you know, the LEDs for us were a critical piece in this, and it will be the largest LED installation in the world going in right here down the road. But again, the benefits from the LEDs is a lower energy consumption. So again, over time, you know, we'll see indoor agriculture evolve. We'll see agriculture as a whole kind of be redefined. But again, how do we, you know, design an overall system that puts as little pressure as possible on those surrounding ecosystems and environment and community to where we can, again, just use nature, the sunlight, the rainwater as best as possible, and then just layer technology on top of that. So again, the LEDs will put us really at the forefront with this facility.
I want to throw in a question that you might not be able to even answer at this point in the process, but my father asked me to ask you, what kind of tomatoes are you going to grow?
Yeah, we'll be very excited to talk about the specific variety of tomatoes. We're kind of down selecting those now, mm-hmm. but yeah, we're not there yet.
Well, he's voting for yellow ones, so you know.
Okay, great. Well, maybe we should talk to some folks in the area and see what they think. But we do have a couple. We have one of the top head growers to run this facility that's kind of coming in to stand this up with us. But we're excited to go through the seed varieties and look at various different varieties on the tomato and cucumber side.
And that's wonderful. Now, I follow you guys on social media, and I saw recently that you guys had a shipment of building materials that came in. I know those of us who travel out that way sometimes kind of look over and see what's happening and saw the big trucks come in and the dirt start moving around and the roads going in. Tell me a little bit about when we can expect a building to start to take shape.
You're going to see a lot of steel go up this year. So it's the back half of the property where most of the steel will be going up. So I'm not sure from the roadside if you'll see it, but it's 60 acres with two 30-acre greenhouses. And we should have steel up for about 30 acres around the end of the year. So cut a little bit into next year. And then by the spring, you'll see the entire structure up and we'll be finalizing into the summer of next year. But at this point, Walker Construction is doing a world-class job on the grading and leveling. This is a very large earthwork project, and they're up there very active day in and day out. But we did have our first shipment of materials show up. I think so far we've had between 15 and 20 semi-trucks of materials, and in total it's going to be roughly 600 trucks are going to be delivering materials to this site. So we'll see ongoing shipments over the next 6 months.
Yeah. I know that everybody kind of holds their breath until the walls start going up. And so I know that a lot of people are watching and kind of keeping their eye on what's happening out there on 801. Now, I know that you're not really one to toot your own horn, but I've been told by several people already in the community that you guys are developing some partnerships with the community. And first, I wanted to talk to you about what you're planning to do with the school system here in Rowan County. The superintendent was very excited to talk about that, but let's tell me a little bit about what you have planned.
Well, from our standpoint, we've tried to say steel and glass is critical as it is, and it's the centerpiece to making this happen. It's not going to define App Harvest, and it won't define our efforts. So having investors along with us that understand the importance of investing in the entire ecosystem and not just a facility has been critical, and we're very fortunate to have that. But yes, we've worked with Shelby Valley High School in Pike County. That was our first pilot program that's gone extremely well. We put a container unit that is really one of a kind at this high school. And we would like to roll those container units out to other high schools in the region. And obviously here we've talked with the school system. We've met with the Commissioner for Education for the state of Kentucky. And we're looking at, how do we develop an ecosystem, not just for App Harvest, but in general for the region. You go to high schools anywhere around the U.S., go to any high school and you ask somebody, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, maybe I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or some type of sport. We don't have anybody talking about wanting to be a farmer, and no farms, no food. And the average age of the American farmers in their mid to late 60s. We have got to find a way to engage youth and have them excited about agriculture, have them feel proud about growing good, healthy food. And so for us, making those investments early and getting technology and into classrooms so that young people can see what the future of agriculture is actually looking like. It's a much more technology-focused industry that's coming. And so for us, we just think it's the right thing to do. If we're going to be operating here for several decades, having close partnerships with school systems is just critical and really a fundamental part of our mission.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be bad when you have high school students graduating and ready to go straight into working, no understanding what you guys do at App Harvest, and they could walk straight into certain positions, I'm sure.
Yeah, whether they come with us or whether they go and pursue a track in their own direction, we just think it's important for agriculture and for the food system here in our country. And obviously, we think if our region is going to lead, and we keep talking about, we have the ability to be the ag tech capital of America, It's going to be more than just having a couple facilities, large-scale facilities. It's going to be working with not only high schools but with universities. I'm with another university president here in a couple of hours, and I've met with all of the university presidents in the region, trying to be as open and transparent. And really, what we're looking to do is provide universities in the region access to this facility so that they can do research and they can come in and see, you know, here's what we're doing in Moorhead, but again, how do we kind of reshape an ecosystem in our region? So again, for us, having not only the high school relationships but university partnerships is going to be critical in the ongoing development of this ecosystem here.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see the shift back as someone who grew up in Eastern Kentucky, to see all those empty tobacco fields now, and see at one point it was looking at those empty tobacco fields and saying, oh, it's sad that you know, that industry's gone, those family farms are gone. I wish there could be something more done there. And now seeing how it's shifting back into agriculture, and having the family farm is something that's a possible dream again, I think, because of technology.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, technology has got to be infused across agriculture, prepare farmers, give them new tools. And we're going to see that happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And we just hope, again, our state and the eastern part of our state are well positioned to capture that. But again, working with community partners and having educational initiatives is very important to us.
Wonderful. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back right after this.
Raise a fork to raise funds for Rowan County Christmas. Enjoy a delicious spaghetti dinner 5 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 12th at the Carl Perkins Community Center in Moorhead. Cost is just $6 and includes spaghetti, drink, and dessert. Proceeds benefit Rowan County Christmas to provide new toys for children. Come and support Rowan County Christmas 5 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 12th at the Carl Perkins Community Center.
And we're back here on Open Mic here in Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting once again with Jonathan Webb, founder and CEO of App Harvest. Jonathan, thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we were talking a little bit about community partnerships in education before the break, but that's not the only place that you have kind of plugged in. I went into a local business, New Frontier Outfitters, to pick up a shirt. And they were like, oh, by the way, have you seen our new line? Tell me a little bit about how you got hooked up with those guys.
Well, yeah, I'm very excited to be working with New Frontier. Jared and Josh, those two brothers, are just a great story. Bootstrapping the business, I think. They told me they were local janitors at schools around here. They used that money to start their business. So when I had heard that, I'd actually read some articles about what they were doing, and just reached out and said, hey guys, we're all here in Moorhead. Instead of us working with somebody from outside the region to make some apparel, why don't we work together? And they've been great partners, and again, it goes back to what we're trying to do here, which is, you know, find as many community partners as possible to work with, and we're very excited to be working with New Frontier. So if you have a chance here in Moorhead, go stop by their shop.
They're on Main Street.
They've got some Appalachian grown apparel that they're pushing out, and we're very excited to be working with them right now, but for the long term.
Now, and they told me a little bit about the work apparel that you guys had talked about. And to me, as someone who's seen businesses develop in the past, I would think that, I mean, you have the opportunity. You could work with a big company that could provide apparel for your workers. And that's something that's easy to come by and probably cheaper than working with someone locally. Why is it important to you to work with so many local businesses?
Well, again, for us, just building something sticky where it's, you know, there's momentum and having something that's really going to be here for the long term. We just think, again, it's the right thing to do. And those are certainly what they're doing there at New Frontier is catching waves all around the country. So for us, it just naturally makes sense to work with as many local partners as possible, and we look forward to one this line they have out. So again, I think you can go to, you know, New Frontier, find them on social media or mm-hmm. online, and pick up some gear or walk in their store. But you go meet those two individuals. And for us, I think, you know, as we develop relationships here, people are, you know, having those relationships and people on the other side of the table, it's important. And so, again, you meet a Jared and Josh and you're immediately sold on, okay, we've got to find a way to work with them. So, yeah, we're excited that we'll be pushing out a lot of AppHarvest apparel with the new Frontier folks.
Wonderful. Now, obviously the money for investment in this project is coming up from outside. Some other potential industries in the region have had trouble finding the capital to get off the ground, but that does not seem to be the case with AppHarvest. You guys have already got it. It's done.
Yeah, it was a challenging process, as it should be. Anything big and pivotal shouldn't be easy, but we're very fortunate not all money is equal. There are investors that are very mission driven, that have a very long term view, that are community minded, that care about the planet that we're on, and we're very fortunate to not only have investors secured for this project, but really some of the best investors we could have possibly pulled together in the world. We have obviously early investor Steve Case, the founder of AOL, America Online, Jeffrey Ubben, who is the founder of Value Act, which is he's been on the board of 21st Century Fox and chairman of Martha Stewart's company. And we had Jeff here in Moorhead a couple weeks ago. Then we had Equilibrium Capital, who is very committed to long-term investment, very committed to now this region. I mean, for them, this is we have almost $100 million in cash going into this project. This is a deep commitment from a lot of folks for the long term. So again, not only do we have investors secured, but we have very community-minded investors that are going to be helpful with us for the long term, ensuring that we stay in this operation up and build something we can all be proud of.
Now, you actually just got back from a trip to Holland, and I know that you've spent a lot of time in that region kind of planning out what we're going to be putting in here. Tell me a little bit about the things that you saw while you were on this trip.
Yeah, so again, the Netherlands is one-third the size of Kentucky in landmass. We could fit the entire country into eastern Kentucky, and they have the second most agricultural exports in the world, only behind the U.S. They do it because they're growing with such efficiency. They're growing a whole lot with very little. So they're absolutely the world leader on controlled environment agriculture, and we are modeling this project off of many of the efforts taking place currently in the Netherlands. So I was just over there and got back last night, was with the owner of Dalsum, who is manufacturing a lot of the materials for this project, and I'm sure folks, listeners might be interested to hear that we've had a good portion of the materials have already been fabricated and are being shipped over. So at this point it's pretty well clockwork. We've got the battleship moving, and now it's just executing on the plan.
So these shipping containers that are coming into the AppHarvest facility on 801 are basically like a big old IKEA box. You're just putting it together as it comes through.
Yeah, so we're manufacturing off-site, obviously the LEDs and most of the components. It's coming from the Netherlands. And again, we'd love to buy this stuff domestically here in America, but that country has such a robust ecosystem supporting this industry. Mm-hmm. You can't get the materials here, and they're very specialized. So I think there's roughly 10,000 companies in the Netherlands that support this horticulture industry. And actually, Bob Helton, Economic Development here in Moorhead, was recently over with us. I invited Bob to come check some of it out. So I was saying, Bob, you know, we're trying to relay this back to stakeholders in the region, and we're not quite – I don't think people are seeing the vision of what we're seeing. So Bob came over, and if anybody in the community sees Bob Helton out, you walk up to him and ask him about what he saw over there, and that's what we're looking to bring back. But again, very specialized industry, so because of that, we're buying our materials from that region and then shipping them over and then assembling on-site here in Moorhead.
And anybody who's shipped something from the other side of the world knows how that process takes a little bit of time.
It's quite the process. They're in the Netherlands, so we're shipping out of Rotterdam, going to the port of Norfolk, train from Norfolk to Louisville, and then those semi trucks start rolling in from Louisville to Morehead, and it's a beautiful sight once you see kind of the dust spitting up behind the semi and it's pulling onto the farm. Every time a truck lands, it feels really good.
That is exciting. Now, you are getting a lot of press. I've seen articles in Forbes, in the Wall Street Journal. They've both featured AppHarvest just in the last month. Why is agricultural technology such a hot topic right now?
Well, we have big macro issues when it comes to food, and you know, as America, we have the largest and most robust economy in the world, but we have got to level up when it comes to agriculture, and we've got to lead the world. And what we've tried to say in Eastern Kentucky has a chance to lead the next great agriculture revolution in our country, and I think given you know the implementation of our design is just something that's naturally getting a lot of national coverage and people eyes are watching. And so for us, it is exciting that agriculture, some of the macro problems is by 2050, our world with growing to 9 billion people and a middle class growing around the world, we'll need 50 to 70% more food by 2050. People say we would need almost two planet Earths to have enough land and fresh water to feed the world. Mm-hmm. We clearly don't have two planet Earths. So we've got to figure out how we're going to grow a lot more food with a lot less resources. And by using precision technologies or indoor ag and controlling the environment, you can do that. So this project's just a prime example of the shift that we're going to see take place in agriculture. And really, this community here is at the forefront on executing on that.
I think as a Kentuckian, that it's nice to be first for something for once. We get on all these lists where they talk about being economically depressed in the region and, you know, the health benefits of people in the region, the health stats of people in the region are always so low. This is one of those opportunities that can change all of that for the better.
It's absolutely amazing to be able to really think about, and in the coming years, we'll see as this unfolds and work together. And that's also been the exciting thing that I'm not sure this is possible anywhere else in the country. So the way we talked before about these community partnerships, the communities that are leaning in with us, the high schools, the fact that I've had meetings with every university president, our region wants it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure some other regions would want it as bad. This is going to be far beyond AppHarvest. There is a real opportunity to develop what we would consider an ag tech hub and lead the country. And if you look at our geographic position, what we're talking about is produce imports that have nearly tripled coming out of Mexico the last 10 to 15 years. We've got to bring that food home and grow at home. But where are we going to do it? We do it here in the eastern part of our state where we have a record amount of rainfall and can get to 70% of the U.S. in a day drive. So we have a lot going for us from a geographic position standpoint. But I think, again, people are going to be what define this. And I through this process and over the last 12 months, I just think our region wants it more than anywhere else in the country. And as a result, we'll be one of the leaders in agriculture. I'm certain of that in the coming years.
And that's all the time we have left here on Open Mic today. Jonathan Webb, founder and CEO of AppHarvest, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And for all our listeners, we'll see you next Friday.